Hey, good morning again, everybody. Good morning. My name is Dallas, and I get the great privilege of dedicating some babies here in a moment, and baptisms at the end of service. And thank you for coming. Thank you, Paulette, for opening up your home. Just a couple of announcements before we begin. The Ladies' Delight Bible reading is at Renew. They're going to go through the book of Joshua. That's starting at 8:30. Ladies' Bible study kicks off with a barbecue on September 10th. It's at on Hart Road, 3660. All of this is online, so you could see it. I'm supposed to read it's in the lobby, but there's no lobby because we're not in the building. So, another ladies' Bible study. This one is for the young moms and young ladies. They'll meet Tuesday, starting September 16th at 10 a.m. at Renew, and they're doing a study, Life Under the Sun. And I think they're still looking for people to volunteer to watch the kids. Just a side note: I've been there. I'm not a very good baby. I get them in trouble, so we need some responsible adults to help watch the kids. So, again, then we have another two opportunities for ladies' studies on Wednesday morning and evening, 9:30 to 11 at Karen Paul's house. They're doing Solid Truth for Slippery Times, and then in the evening, 6 to 7:30 at Warden's on September 17th, they're doing a study too called A Living Hope. Men's study, we have two. Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. at Darren Beecher's shop, and then Wednesday in the evening, 6 p.m. at Warden's, and they're going to do a study through Romans, so you won't want to miss, and so you're invited to do that. One last announcement is Men's Off-Roading Adventure. Save the date, September 13th, more information to come. That'll be fun, so if you're a guy and you like to go off-roading, you're in. All right, now is the time for baby dedications. I'm excited for this. We have six families dedicating seven babies. So I would like to invite Nathaniel and Penelope to bring up their parents, Reed to bring up his parents, Piper to bring up her parents, Forrest to bring up his parents, Lana to bring up her parents, and Axel to bring up his parents. That's exciting. So seven babies. And as they come up here, I want to read Psalm 78, 4 through 7. I need just one. You got one? No, you do. So you'll have to come to me, but let me read this to you. There's some more coming. Let me read Psalm 78. After I read Psalm 78, I'm just going to talk about what baby dedication is. And then parents, I'm going to ask you one simple question. If you're going to raise your children in the Lord, you'll respond with yes. And in congregation, I will ask you the same if you would join them. But as we do this, let me read Psalm 78 for us. 78 verse 4 reads, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. He has decreed status for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they then in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his command." So the Bible talks a lot about training up the next generation and teaching our children the ways of the Lord. And when we think about teaching, we might have a picture in our head of holding our toddlers' hands, praying that they don't make a big fuss up here, which I don't care about. We teach them how to hold a fork and a knife. We read Bible stories to the little ones before they go to bed. And down the road, we're teaching our kids what it will look like to sit through hours and hours of algebra, even though ourselves, we weren't that good. In all the ways, we are instructed to teach our children. But additionally, we are to teach our children something most of all with how we live our lives. Well before we are sitting in the passenger seat in an empty parking lot reminding our teenager what pedal is the brake and which one is the gas. Way before we put them in the booster seat watching them how to drive, what they will do is they will watch how we drive, how we live our life. And you know, the great thing about kids is they pay especially close attention to our mistakes. They watch how we talk, how we respond to life's interruptions, and how we pray. They see our faith on display. And when we make church a priority, But also more than that, how we live by faith in the community outside of the church building or a wonderful place like this. They watch how we are the church more than just going to church and how quickly we should apologize when we wrong. When it comes to teaching our children, we see a beautiful picture in the early church found in the book of Acts, a community who did everything together, including raising their children together. You've heard the cliche, it takes a village, and cliches are true. And God puts us in the community because we need one another. As we raise our children, we will encourage and have accountability. And these are the reasons why we have dedications today. So with the six families and seven children who are chosen to dedicate their children this morning, in a moment, again, I'm going to ask you this question and you will respond. So to all of the parents, do you agree that you are dedicating your child to the Lord? And do you agree that you promise to raise your children to the best of your ability by God's grace and mercy to follow Jesus all of their life? And you say, they said yes. And to the church, sometimes it's harder for the church in some ways as we see them on Sundays and Wednesdays, but our charge is still the same. So the church, will you also commit to joining them in that promise? So church, do you commit in joining the parents to hold onto the promises of God's grace and mercy? If you do, say, we do. And I heard some people say we do. All right. So time for some dedication. So first up, we have Forrest Graham Addis. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift up Forrest to you. Thank you for the love you have for him. And we pray, Lord, that he, early on in his life, would have a saving relationship with you. As much fun as it is today to watch him dedicated, we're excited to see a testimony that he will have. We pray that his testimony is one that he will always know you. And today, Lord, we just lift him up. We lift him up to you. We pray that you will help him become the man you desire him to be. And mostly we pray that you will do a great work in his life. We come before you and we dedicate him to you. We anticipate great things for him for no other reason than you are a great God. We are excited to see the day when he receives your son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and that he too would get baptized, maybe even in these same waters. We continue to pray for Kyle and Corinne. Will you strengthen them and encourage them, Lord, and we know that you're able. So today we dedicate Forrest to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap. We have a little book for you. Okay, next we have Piper Lynn Garber. You have to come closer to me. Let's lift up Piper. Lord, we come before you and we lift up little Piper to you and thank you for the love that you have for her. We pray, Lord, that she would come to have an early relationship with you, a saving relationship. And again, as we pray, and we will pray for all these babies, that she will have a testimony that she only knows you. Today, Lord, is an opportunity for us as a church to join them as a community of what you are doing. We pray that you will help us come alongside them. Mostly we pray that you would just do a great work in her life. We come before you and we dedicate her to you. We anticipate great things for her. And again, it's not because we're great or that she'll be great, but that she will be saved in you because you're a great God. We're excited to see the day when Piper receives your son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and that you would get, she would get baptized. Maybe in these waters or in a pool or somewhere. Lord, we lift up Cody and Taja to you. Will you strengthen them and encourage them through all the ups and downs of parenthood? What a joy it is to be able to witness for them their marriage and now their baby being born and in Piper's dedication. So we dedicate her unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lana, let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift up little Lana to you. Thank you for the love that you have for her already. And we pray for her. We pray for her relationship with you and those big eyes that stare out. We do pray again, as we will pray for all the babies, that her testimony is one that she will always know you and walk with you. Today again, as we come together as a church and as a community, we pray, Lord, that we can come alongside and encourage, especially when the nights are hard, the mornings are difficult. But mostly we pray, Lord, that you would do a great work in her life. And we come before you and we dedicate her to you, Lord. We anticipate great things for her again, because you are a great God and we know that you're able. We're excited to see all that you have in store for her. We're excited for the day when she says yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that she would be baptized again in these waters or some other waters. But we continue to pray for Braden and Emily. Will you encourage them? Will you strengthen them? Will you continue to fill them with your love? We thank you for the joy that they show in being parents, and we're excited to come alongside them and say yes. So on this day, Lord, we dedicate Lana Ramey to you. We pray that you bless her greatly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Okay. Next we have Axel. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift up little Axel's life to you. Thank you for the love that you have for him already. We're excited to be a part of this special day. And we're looking forward to the day when he too will accept your son as Savior. We pray that there isn't a day that goes by that he doesn't walk with you and knows you, and that he can do great things for your kingdom. Lord, as we come together as a church, as a community, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray that we can encourage them. Mostly again, Lord, we will pray that you will do great work in his life. We come before you and we dedicate Axel unto you. We anticipate great things again because you're a great big God. We're excited to see the day when he says yes to you, when he says yes to Christ, when you fill him with your spirit. And then we're excited to look forward to the day where we can witness a baptism. Maybe again, in these waters or waters somewhere else. But mostly we're looking forward to the day he says yes to you. Lord, we're thankful, Lord. And Lord, we know that it can be difficult to be parents, Lord. So we lift up JC and Taylor to you, and we just pray that you bless them. Bless them greatly. So today, on this day, Lord, we lift up unto you, Axel, Yamas, to you. We pray that you bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's unsure. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift up little Reed to you. We thank you for the love that you have for him and his family. We are just looking forward to the saving relationship that he'll have with you. The part, Lord, of his testimony that he will walk with you always, to be a light to the world. And we can already see that happening. Lord, today is an opportunity for the church community and family members to come alongside in an agreement and say yes. We pray that you will help us come alongside them and say yes. Mostly, Lord, again, we pray that you will do a great work in his life. We come before you and we dedicate Reed to you, unto you. And again, Lord, we anticipate great things for no other reason than you're a great big God. We're excited to see one day when he receives your son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and that he too would be baptized in these waters or waters somewhere else. By your grace and your mercy, we continue to pray again that you would just continue to work Stanton and Chris's life as they raise two beautiful children, Lord. May we encourage them. So, Lord, on this day, we lift up Reed unto you and dedicate him to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pray. We have two. Nathaniel and Penelope. Lord, we come before you and we lift up both Nathaniel and Penelope to you. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for the love that you have for them. And we pray, Lord, that they both would come to know, have a saving relationship with you, and that both of their testimonies are intertwined as brother and sisters, that they walk with you and encourage one another to do so. And again, today is the opportunity for family and the church family community to come alongside. We pray that you will help us come alongside and encourage them, but mostly we pray that you would do a great work in both of their lives. We come before you and dedicate Nathaniel and Penelope to you. We anticipate, again, great things because you're a great big God. We're excited to see the day when they receive Christ as their Savior and that they will both be there to encourage each other to be baptized. Again, maybe even in these same waters. And Lord, we lift up the parents, Cody and Beth, to you. We pray that you bless them and keep them and encourage them as parents. We're excited to dedicate unto you Nathaniel and Penelope on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good clapping. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, church. Good job, kids. Hey, just the book that I give out is Bedtime Prayers for Little Ones. And I think I read this before. I just want to read this introduction. Maybe it's a reminder as we close out baby dedication. And they write, "Dear parents, as you teach your children everything from sharing and getting dressed to singing and playing catch, we encourage you to lead them to the one thing they can take with them wherever they go, how to pray. In good times and tough times, make prayer the go-to tool for your family. Enter every activity over the threshold of prayer. Pray for play dates, trips to the store, and ill pets. Let your children hear you take your concerns to God. Raise them in a house where prayer is predicted practice, not the extreme exception." And may that be our prayer for all of us. Amen. Thank you. All right. Just want to spend a little time talking about baptisms. We have baptisms coming up. And before I forget, I just want to mention who's getting baptized. And then again, I will, after the service, mention their name. I'm excited that we have 7 people slated to get baptized. We have Ava Filburn, Marciela Ortega, Sam, Reneker, Orion Wallace, Maddie Ramey, Jesse Schoolin, and Nora Jackson. So be praying for them, and it's an honor to be able to do that. For some of them, they were dedicated a few years ago or several years ago, and now they're getting baptized. And it's the very same thing that we have been praying for each and every one of those kids. So now I invite you, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, to turn to Acts 8, verse 26. This is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm going to read Acts 8, 26 through 40. And it reads, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk along beside the carriage.' Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' The man replied, 'How can I unless someone instructs me?' And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?' So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news, the gospel about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?' He ordered the carriage to stop, And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word in this time that we have. What a joy it is to come and watch those babies be dedicated. We just pray for your word. Prepare our hearts to receive it. Whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't, I don't. We'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Perhaps one of the earliest questions asked in the Bible is found in verse 36. Again, it's with the eunuch riding along with Philip, and he says, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" Or some translation, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Or "What is stopping me from being baptized?" This is a question that's been wrestled with since baptisms began, and perhaps there are some of you who even at this very moment is asking that question. What prevents me from being baptized? Or why baptism? Many years ago, I was preparing for another baptism service in Kansas City when we were there. And there was a guy who asked if I asked him if he was going to get baptized. And he said, and I quote, "There isn't enough soap on God's green earth to wash me clean. You can't get that water hot enough." To which I replied, "Well, I'm glad that you do see that it is God's green earth. And it's not the soap or the temperature of the water that cleans you." And he said, "Well, let me think about it." So for a few years, as I've been working through this passage, this is really one of my favorite passages. I know I probably say that every Sunday, but you've probably heard me talk about this a few times in various settings if you've been around. If we had the Love Life Walk. I did this at FCA last year. I did it at a chapel service. And taking the different settings and taking a look at different parts of these passages, I looked at it from Philip's point of view, from an evangelistic point of view, asking that question, "Do you know what you're reading?" That's a great question. People usually aren't worried if you ask them questions, just depending on how you ask them. That was at FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Be bold to ask your friend what they believe in. Be bold enough to ask your friend, "Will you read the Bible with me? Do you have any questions?" Just ask questions. But that's not here for today. And maybe from a historical point of view, I've done that before with the eunuch. The eunuch would go on to teach about Christ all throughout Africa. And many people to this day still point to him as the reason the gospel spreads throughout the continent. There are churches still today that they point their lineage back to the eunuch coming home and sharing the good news. But that's not the part today that I want to concentrate on. I want to walk through this quick conversation with us quickly and just consider here for a moment about baptisms. It was funny, I had texted Ashley to let her know the title, Reasons for Baptism. And then as I was studying, what I typically do is I go back through the other baptism services. And you know what I named the sermon 3 years ago? Reasons for Baptisms. But it's not the same message, I don't think. But Philip is sent to a desert road towards Gaza. His ministry is flourishing. Lots of people are coming to know Christ through him. And then God asks him to go on a desert road. And this desert road from Jerusalem where he was leading goes all the way down, 60 miles down into Egypt, to the African continent. And Philip, on his walk in the desert road, meets this Ethiopian official, a eunuch who's in charge of the treasury, the queen's treasury. He's considered either the second or third most important person in the world. And he was probably most likely chosen either because he was a eunuch or is forced to be a eunuch. but we don't know. And he's coming out from Jerusalem. So it's during the festival of time where the Jewish people are coming and worshiping, and it's an opportunity. And he wouldn't be allowed for any reason to go to church, if you will, to the temple. He's a eunuch after all. He's unclean. He's a Gentile. But somehow he got his hands on his own scroll. Now for us, we have our Bibles on our phone. We have probably a half dozen Bibles unopened in our homes. But to own a scroll means you had great wealth. So somehow he couldn't buy it himself, but he had someone purchase it for him. So he was probably on the outside looking in and wondering what this was all about, but he got a scroll. This is all conjecture on my part. I just imagine he probably said, hey, if I could only buy one scroll, what would you recommend? And someone would say, oh yes, Isaiah. So he's riding along in this chariot and he's reading out loud. And you might think that's kind of weird, but this was just the practice at the time. Everybody read out loud. It was like a statement of belief. It was just as how I am coming to understand. So he's reading Isaiah, specifically Isaiah 53, the prophecy of the suffering servant. And as he's reading, Philip is walking down this road, and I imagine this carriage is coming by, and then he feels God, his spirit, tap him on the shoulder and says, hey, go talk to that guy. That's what we read in verse 31 when he said, do you understand what you're reading? It's a fair question. In verse 31, the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up in the carriage and sit with me. And now if I'm Philip, I'm like, all right, this is going to make this 60-mile journey a little quicker. And the passage he was reading, again, was from Isaiah 53, and he's reading this words. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Now, if you've heard this before, studied this before, had teaching before, you know, oh yeah, this is Jesus, of course. But pretend just for a moment this is your very first time hearing this. Perhaps it is. And all you hear is, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb is silent before the shearers, and he did not open his mouth. Well, who's the he? And in verse 3, he was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? I always imagine what it would have been like for a eunuch who would have no descendants of his own to read that line, who can speak of his descendants? But it would go on, for his life was taken from the earth. So verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? That's a great question. He asked a question from a question. And then verse 35, it says, so beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news or the gospel about Jesus. And then it jumps away. And the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what Philip tells him. It just hints towards it, meaning he used the same scripture. Philip is joining him in explaining Isaiah 53, proclaiming the good news. The Lamb of God, the Savior, the substitute of our sins, the one who died for our sins and rose again. Now, this is just how I imagine the conversation would go. You can imagine how it went. I'm not trying to put words into the Bible, but this is typically how I somewhat given the opportunity to share. This is something of what I shared with that man that said, there isn't enough soap on God's green earth to clean me. The water can't get hot enough to scald me is actually what his words were. So I would imagine Philip said something along like this. He said, well, the story is about God's son. But let me back up before we get to his son. See, there's this God, and he's a good God. He's loving and he's kind and he blesses us generously. He's faithful and he's wise and he created you. In his image, he created you with value, with dignity, and worth. You weren't an accident. You're designed by God. He loves you. However, we've sinned against God. We were against God. It started with Adam and Eve, and before we think we're any better, we would have done the same thing, and we do the same thing. We've sinned. We came out from under his authority because we thought we knew better. We disobeyed him. And as a result, we went from him blessing us and being in this garden with him to bringing a curse onto ourselves. And before you say, well, if God's so good, why would he do that? Then I would say, well, God is so good, he asked us to come alongside. And when we said no, he let us go. But here's the good news, the gospel. Now, to be clear about this, the good news or the gospel means the same thing. It's not good information. It's not good advice. It is a good news report, meaning this is an eyewitness account. This is what happened. It's a report of news. The God who created everything entered into his creation. The very same God who made you came to save you. His name is Jesus Christ. And ultimately, he was different than us. And when we hear, when he was here on this earth, just a few years back, he started teaching. This is what Philip would say. We would say a couple thousand years ago, but just a few years back, he started his ministry roughly around the age of 30. And the people at that time, and you probably know a few, didn't like him. They thought there was something wrong with him. The problem is that there's something wrong with us because he was different than us, but yet we killed him. And he died. And he loves you so much that he died to forgive you, and he died to redeem you, and he died to adopt you and give you a meaning and a purpose. He died to bring you home. He makes your life meaningful. He gives you value. He gives you purpose. I would imagine Philip would say, even though you're a eunuch, even though you come from a place that mistreats you, but yet you're in charge of the money. I would imagine Philip would say something along these lines. I'm sorry for the pain that you've been through, and I'm sorry for the hardship. I'm sorry that this curse that we all face of sin, that we battle every single day, but the good news is he died for you, and he's going to be waiting for you if you put your trust in him. He's creating a new heavens and a new earth, and not only taking some time to prepare for Adam, he's taking that time to prepare for you. He's going to wipe every tear from your eye. He's going to heal your heart. He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift up that curse. You're going to experience blessing for all eternity. You're going to breathe in and recover and worship him. I would imagine the eunuch would say, well, you know, I've done a lot of bad things. And Philip would say, join the club. And then Philip would have said, here's all the things that I've been forgiven. Something along those lines. I don't know exactly what Philip would say, but so maybe even somewhere along the line, he says, well, what must I do? How do I have to get clean first? Or I've never been allowed in the temple. I've never prayed a I've not done it before. I don't feel right. No, God took care of that. See, each person who is getting baptized today has put their trust and belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've talked to them. I've heard their testimony, and or they've shared their testimony with their parents. Even thinking about my children, I won't mention who. I try so hard not to mention them by name, but being a preacher's kid, they try to jump in the baptismal at age of 2. Well, hold on there. But each person that is getting baptized today has put their trust and belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are now getting baptized in obedience to Christ. Baptism is the outward expression of what has taken place in their heart. And when they enter in the water, they are showing symbolically that they are entering the water as dead. And when they go into the water, they are being buried with Christ. And when they are come out of the water, they are being resurrected with Christ as they come out of the water. The word used for baptism in the Greek is baptismo, which means to go under, to immerse, to dip. That's why we go under the water. Now, I'm not picking on you if you were sprinkled, poured over, some variations. That's just why we do it this way. And to be clear, the water itself doesn't save. The water's a little cold. Only the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. But baptism does not convert a person. Again, it's just the outward declaration of the inward reality of what's taking place. It is the picture of the believer's union with Christ in death and burial and resurrection. And when the believer goes down into the water, they declare Christ died for my sins, was buried, was raised. In him I am forgiven and raised a new life. So today we not only baptize people upon their profession of faith, we do this because Jesus commanded it. And before he ascended, he told his disciples that all authority had been given to him, and he had charged them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'll do this morning. And the church has been doing this ever since. I don't see baptism as an optional thing. Baptism, again, itself isn't what saves you. It's an obligation to say yes to Jesus, and what do you want me to do? Follow you. Jesus himself was baptized. We read this in Matthew and Mark and Luke. The disciples of John the Baptist, we read they were baptized by John as a sign of repentance. Early followers of Jesus, the Pentecost believers, 3,000 people believe they were baptized. We have Paul, we have Cornelius, Lydia, her household, the Philippian jailer, Crispus, the synagogue ruler who was religious for many, many years and then came to a saving relationship. And then perhaps just quickly, verse 36, as they rode along, they came to some water. So as Philip is teaching, he's saying, okay, do you believe? And at some point, he says, yes, I believe. And they're riding along, and then Philip says, okay, the next step is to get baptized. Let me tell you about whenever I got baptized. And then all of a sudden, verse 36, he says, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Or what prevents me from being baptized? He orders the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So why can't I be baptized? I would imagine he's never been able to participate in anything like this, any religious ceremony, any kind of faith thing. He's asking, why can't, can I, me too? So as a pastor for a few years now, I just wrote down some of the reasons why, when asked that question, why can't I be baptized? Or perhaps here are some reasons that I have received and why people don't get baptized. If you fit in this category, I'm not picking on you. I just want to encourage you. Perhaps one of the number one reasons that I hear is I'm not ready yet. I need to learn more. I need to grow spiritually. All through the New Testament, baptism was the first step after faith, not the last. It's very important. If you wait until you're ready, you're never going to get baptized. If you wait to get married when you're ready to get married, you're never going to get married. If you wait to have when you're ready to have children, you're never, I mean, the list goes on, the same thing. Again, baptism is just part of that starting line of discipleship, not the finish line. I'm not ready yet. To that, I would say join the club. Next one is I was baptized as a baby. And there's confusion over family tradition, fearing of dishonoring parents. I wouldn't say that, no. No. I'm not picking on traditions who do that. For them, they baptize and then they have confessional later. For us, we dedicate and do baptism. So you're afraid that you will overstep. Baptism is not about erasing your heritage, but a personal obedience. Your parents gave your faith roots. Now you're affirming Christ as your own Savior. You know, some of you know my testimony, and I'm not recommending this at all. I got baptized 4, 5, 6 times. So many times I lost count. Bad theology. Oh, baptized in the water? Cool. Baptized at the ocean? I want to do that. I was baptized as a baby? I don't remember that. Let's do it again. I'm not saying that. Another reason, I don't like being in front of people. Fear of public speaking or stage fright. It's okay. We're here to celebrate with you what God is doing. The water will be so cold, you won't even worry about everybody else. Baptism is not about a performance. It's not about how you look getting in the water or out of the water. It's simple obedience. We don't ask you to give a speech you're welcome to. In the future, we're hoping just to share a little bit of testimonies. But your only testimony is, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to be obedient. Another thing that I have, why they don't, is I already believe. Isn't that enough? Treating baptism as an option. Faith saves, but Jesus commanded baptism in Matthew 28:19. He tells us to do that. It's not, I don't need this baptism. It's like saying, I love Jesus, but I don't want to obey him. I already believe. We'll take the next step of obedience. Number six, I'm afraid of what others will think. Kind of going on the same line of the stage fright. Family, friends may reject this or think it's weird or it's confusing. Baptism simply declares our new identity. In Galatians 3:27, Christ removes every fear. To follow him is to choose allegiance to the King above all, and he asks us to get baptized. Number seven, or six, or whatever number I'm on. I'm too old, it's too late to get baptized. I missed my chance years ago. Nope. If you still have a pulse and you can breathe, you can get baptized. It's never too late. The Philippian jailer was baptized the night he believed, right after he almost committed suicide. So whether you're 16 or 999 or 99, you're welcome to get baptized. The other one is, I just don't understand the importance. Baptism just feels like an old church tradition or ritual that you guys have been doing for all these years. You don't know why. And I would say baptism has been going on for a very long time, but it's just a living picture of the gospel. We're buried with Christ, raised to a new life, as Romans 6:4 tells us. And it's not just water, it's the visible sign of the gospel. And perhaps the last one that I hear is, I'm not good enough to be baptized. Shame and sin makes people feel unworthy. Baptism is not for the perfect. It's for sinners who have been washed clean by Jesus, Acts 22:16. And if you wait to be good enough or to clean yourself up,